What is up, you guys? Welcome to another edition of Controversial Thoughts. If you are watching this on YouTube, you will know that the background suddenly looks very familiar. I am in Austin, Texas this week, taking care of a few things, and then I am back to Costa Rica. So if you guys want to know why I am moving to Costa Rica and all about my journey there and my own personal remembering, listen to the Controversial Thoughts next week, in which I will talk about those. This week, I want to ask the question, is there one perfect diet for all humans? And my answer may surprise you. I want to start that discussion with a pretty striking testimonial for the carnivore diet posted by one of my friends, Chad Mendez, who is an ex-MMA fighter, a really well-known guy, had an incredible career in the UFC. But this is Chad's leg. So Chad has psoriasis. He posted this on Instagram today. You can see these scaling plaques on his leg, on both legs, pretty severe. And he notes in this, in the caption of this quote, of this post on Instagram, the crazy thing is I have been told by two different dermatologists that, quote, diet has no effect on psoriasis. So he says that he's 2 months in to a carnivore diet and shows the improvements in his legs, which are striking. They are, the plaques and psoriasis have almost completely disappeared, as you can see in this video. He says, I feel great, getting lean as well. I wonder how I would have felt during my athletic career, anyone else having great success with this. So this post has a ton of likes. I reposted it on my feed, and there's a ton of comments here. I think it's so cool that Chad is sharing his success story with Skin Stuff. If you guys saw the Controversial Thoughts video I did a few weeks back when we released Skin, Hair, and Nails at Hardened Soil, I talked about eczema and animal-based diets or a carnivore diet. And this is a fantastic example of sort of a, quote, sister disease to eczema, which is psoriasis, improving massively with a change in his diet. And to show you guys how cool Skin, Hair, and Nails is, I want to show you this review we got on it with some pretty incredible skin transformations. This is from Magda. You can see here, she says, this is 2 weeks of taking Skin, Hair, and Nails. She has these two photos. She's looking at her acne, healing acne. So I took a photo the day before I started the supplement. I did not change anything at all in my diet or lifestyle. No new beauty products, nothing. And then I took a picture after just 2 weeks. My skin cleared up so much. I'm amazed. I'm almost 40 and dealing with acne my whole life. Very grateful for the supplement. Before, I was using plant-based supplements. They were hard on my kidneys. With this, I have no issues, and I know I am very well hydrated. I use it instead of omega, vitamin B complex, and vitamin D. I'm very satisfied and will continue to use it. So how cool is that, guys, that this Skin, Hair, and Nails supplement that we built with this really unique form of collagen from trachea and scapula is helping Magda. So just wanted to share that one.
So many people will criticize a carnivore or animal-based diet, saying there are so many studies that show benefits to plant foods. There are countless studies that show benefits to plant foods. But Chad's story and my story with eczema, I wish I had pictures of how bad my eczema was at one point in my life, are an indication that we cannot always take a ton of studies showing, quote, benefits to vegetables as the only source of truth in nutritional literature or in terms of medical recommendations for these illnesses, because individuals cannot be forgotten about. In Chad's case, in my case, eliminating many of these vegetables that so many, quote, studies find to be valuable led to massive improvements in our autoimmune diseases. So now that's a whole rabbit hole I'll go down a little later in this video. That begs the question, is a carnivore diet the perfect diet for humans, for all humans? I think the answer is no. Is an animal-based diet the perfect diet for all humans? Let's dig into that a little bit, because an animal-based diet is a little bit more broad than a carnivore diet. My quick answer to the question is, I do not believe there is one diet that is going to be optimal for all humans. However, I do feel that there are some principles that we can incorporate into our life to figure out which diet is right for us. And those principles, I believe, are true for mostly all Homo sapiens living on this planet. And these are the overarching principles I have discussed in the past. The first one, that meat and organs are the center of our diet as humans. They've always have been. Listen to the podcast from earlier this week with Mickey Bendor. If you want more paleoanthropology evidence there, meat and organs have always been the center of our existence and should be the center of our diets. They have been incorrectly vilified by badly interpreted observational science and should not be feared. That is principle one. I believe that applies to all Homo sapiens living on this planet. That yes, that all Homo sapiens on this planet will benefit by including meat and organs, especially from well-raised sources in their diet. That is principle one. Principle two, plants exist on a toxicity spectrum, and not everyone has a net benefit from plant foods, especially not from the most toxic parts of plants. You've heard me talk about this before. These are the stems, leaves, seeds, which is seeds, grains, nuts, and legumes, and roots of plants. Just think about it from the perspective of a plant. Those are the parts of a plant that the plant doesn't really want to get eaten and is likely going to put defense chemicals in. And the presence of defense chemicals in plants is not really debatable. They're there. The only question is how well we are able to deal with them and detoxify them as humans. Now, as I've talked about, fruit is a totally different situation. And generally, the plants are not putting a lot of defense chemicals in fruit. There are a few fruits out there that are actually poisonous for humans. But the majority of fruit is meant to be eaten by animals and can be eaten by Homo sapiens as a species. So when we're talking about plant foods, think about the different types of plant foods and think about plants on a toxicity spectrum. So principle two is that I believe humans in general, that all Homo sapiens will benefit by considering plant foods on a toxicity spectrum. If you are thriving, if you have the libido, the body composition, the energy, the mental clarity, the muscles, you know, the athletic ability, the creativeness, the intelligence that you desire, you're probably doing great with your diet and you don't need to change anything. But for people like Chad, who has really bad psoriasis and is told by dermatologists, diet doesn't have any effect here, or eat more vegetables, or you need even more fiber. Or for people who have inflammatory bowel disease and are told eat more fiber, or for people who have cardiovascular disease and are told eat more fiber or eat more plants and they don't get any better or they get worse or their GI symptoms continue to get worse. I want to be one of the people making a clarion call, making a very clear statement that I think that is wrong, that not everyone is going to benefit from leafy greens, that not everyone is going to benefit from kale, chard, broccoli, cauliflower, from rhubarb, from spinach, from nuts, from seeds, from grains, from beans. I don't believe that those are universally beneficial for humans or that they provide a net benefit to us as human individuals. And this has been my message. So I think these are the two overarching principles that apply to Homo sapiens as a species. And if you incorporate those in your life, you will figure out what your optimal diet is. For me personally, I don't do well with squash. It's a food that I might consider to be a least toxic food, a less toxic plant food, and you'll see that on the plant toxicity spectrum that we sent out from the Animal Base 30 this month over at Heart and Soil. If you still want that, you can sign up at animalbase30.com to get the infographic. But for me, squash triggers my eczema. Chocolate triggers my eczema. Dairy triggers my eczema and acne on my face. These are foods that I personally can't eat. For some people, egg whites are a trigger or even egg yolks. For other people, it's kale or broccoli or spinach or chard or celery or rhubarb or asparagus. And it's very difficult to understand those things. But if you apply these two principles, meat and organs, the center of your diet, the most nutrient-rich foods, providing all these beneficial nutrients, plants existing on a toxicity spectrum with fruits generally being more digestible, more easily incorporated into our bodies, and less containing of toxic chemicals, defense chemicals of plants, and understanding that if you're not thriving, cut kale out of your diet, cut broccoli out of your diet, you'll do so much better. Now, it's not saying that one diet is going to be perfect for all humans, that humans should eat meat and liver and strawberries. That's not going to work for everyone. Some people may not respond well to strawberries. Some people respond poorly to even the citrus, which is a fruit. But understand these two principles, and I think these principles apply to humans, to Homo sapiens, and that'll help you figure out what your ideal diet is within those constraints. And I think that when we work outside of those constraints, people suffer, and they continue to suffer, like Chad was, because they don't even think. They're never told by nutritional people, nutritional pundits, that kale might not be good for you, that broccoli really doesn't love you back, and that the net benefit of these foods is quite questionable. So on a future controversial thoughts, I'll dig into some of the studies looking at plant foods and how they can be misleading and why we don't necessarily need vegetables in our diets. But I want to add another really interesting point to this video, which is that many of the phytochemicals that we are told are beneficial for us in plant foods actually end up in animal meat and organs. And believe me, when I thought about it, when I read this the first time, I thought, wow, that's something I'm going to have to consider. That's a paradigm shifter. But as I've thought about it more and more, and I'll show you the study in a moment, what I've come to understand or come to believe is thinking, oh, great. Well, the animals have processed most of the toxic chemicals out of the plants. They put some of the phytochemicals in their meat. And even if there is a benefit to these phytochemicals, we are still getting them in animal foods, in addition to unique nutrients from animal foods, carnitine, choline, carnosine, all these unique things that you can only get in animal foods. So when somebody tells you, don't you need your vegetables? You can just say, actually, the cow ate the vegetables for me. And anything that's beneficial in the vegetables is now in the cow, and I can get that. So I don't need to eat the vegetables. And I feel much better for it, like Chad does, like I do. So here is a screen share of that paper. Health-promoting phytonutrients are higher in grass-fed meat and milk. They compare presence of phytochemicals in grass-fed meat and milk versus grain-fed meat and milk. And wouldn't you know it, grass-fed contains higher levels of these, as I've talked about in the past. So this is another interesting point that we may need to consider arguing for grass-fed, grass-finished meat. There's no question that regenerative agriculture is the way to go, guys. I've talked about this tons and tons and tons. You'll see here, several studies have found an increase in, quote, antioxidant activity in meat and milk of grass-fed versus grain-fed animals. Only a handful of studies have investigated the effects of grass-fed meat and dairy consumption on human health and show the potential for anti-inflammatory effects and improved lipoprotein profiles of red meat. Of course, these are the foods we've always eaten. So you can see in this paper, there are multiple studies that are considered here. You can look at all of these studies here, and they show that many of these compounds found in plants, these phytochemicals, actually end up in animal meat. So you don't need to eat the vegetables if the animals you're eating are eating the vegetables, generally speaking. If you want to get some phytochemicals from fruit, that's fine. I was loving papaya while I was in Costa Rica. Hard not to eat something that gorgeous and delicious while I'm there. And I felt like it treated my body pretty well. Being back in Texas this week, I'm missing it in a big way, but I will get back there soon. So in summary, I do not believe there is one ideal diet for all humans, but I do believe there are two major overarching principles that apply to all humans that, if followed and if understood, will help you pinpoint what your ideal diet is. Principle number one, animal meat and organs are the center of our diet. They are the most nutritious foods. They are the foods our ancestors have always sought out. Notice I said meat and organs. If you are not getting organs in your life, you are missing unique nutrients. Get liver, get heart, get spleen, get pancreas, get kidney. If you can't get these nutrients, if you can't get these foods, that is why we do what we do at Heart and Soil. Check us out at heartandsoil.co. As I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, we just released Skin, Hair, and Nails. It's amazing. It has trachea and scapula cartilage, which are unique sources of cartilage that have been studied by John Pruden and found to contain very interesting peptides that help with wound healing and immune response. And we combine that special type of cartilage, much different than hide and hoof cartilage, which is what you'll find in things like other collagen hydrolysates. We use trachea and scapula cartilage with bone marrow and liver. It's a powerful supplement. It's probably one of my favorites right now. So check out Skin, Hair, and Nails if you want glowing skin, hair, and nails. And if you want to improve your skin issues, consider getting meat and organs in your diet and also eliminating the most toxic plant foods, which is the second premise. Plants exist on a toxicity spectrum. You do not need roots, stems, leaves, and seeds in your diet. Getting some fruit is fine. Getting carbohydrates is beneficial, in my opinion. You'll get plenty of vitamin C from fruit if that's something you're worried about. You'll get phytochemicals from fruit. You'll get phytochemicals in beef and organs, if we even think those are valuable for humans. And eliminating the most toxic plant foods leads to resolution and improvement in so many people's skin conditions and other autoimmune issues. So those are the two principles that I think apply to everyone. And what you end up with when you apply those in your own life will be different for every person. But I hope those are helpful, and I hope they are a tool that breaks the mainstream hypnotic paradigm that you must have vegetables and that animal meat and organs are not good for you and that food has nothing to do with your autoimmune illness, because that is bullshit, my friends. And because it is very hard to do a video like this without talking about an interesting paper that I've come across in the week, I found this one, or I refound this one. Dietary fat composition alters pulmonary function in pigs. Oh, imagine that. The compliance in these lungs was reduced in the linoleic acid and fish oil groups compared with the palmitate group before and after endotoxin. Isn't that interesting? 18 pigs assigned to three groups received a diet of 20% protein, 20% carbohydrate, and 40% fat. Those numbers don't add up. There's going to have to be calories from somewhere, guys. They calculated that a little wrong. It's interesting. One of those is going to have to be a little bit higher than that. In one group, the fat content consisted entirely of palmitic acid, which is a saturated fat. In the second group, fat was from intralipid, which is a normal fat that is given to people when they're in the ICU, which provided predominantly linoleic acid. Not a good thing. Third group fed fish oil, maintained on these diets for 21 days before the experiment. In case you're wondering, pigs have a pretty similar physiology to humans. They're monogastric animals. Pretty good model. We concluded that the common practice of providing calories in the form of polyunsaturated fats to critically ill patients carries the risk of being detrimental to lung function. How many people do you think got COVID, were severe in the hospital, and got polyunsaturated fats and may have suffered because of it? Just saying, we're killing people by eating in a way that is ancestrally inconsistent. This is what the remembering is all about. My remembering is why I live in Costa Rica. Look for that topic next week on Fundamental Health Controversial Thoughts. But remember these two principles and figure out what your optimal diet is, and I think it will be helpful. And I can't wait to hear your stories of improvements in autoimmune illness. Check us out at Heart and Soil. You can always email us radicalhealth@heartandsoil.co. If you have questions, we want to help you with this. Stay radical, you guys. Love you all.